Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a Happy New Year.
Hey, we're back. Christmas special. Yost, are you there?
I am. I just knocked down a gallon of eggnog. Blood sugar is through the roof. I'm ready to pod.
I'm ready to pod as well. I got my coffee. It is Christmas Eve, the 24th. We're here for the Throw It in the Ocean Christmas special, as we like to say. I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor today. So today's episode is brought to you by Christmas Candy Cranes. All your construction needs, that they can lift it, but only during the month of December.
Very specific company, but I'm sure they're busy this time of year.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Christmas Eve episode, Christmas episode.
I gotta say, first annual. I was so excited to throw that one out there because I just thought of it this morning. I feel like I stumbled on it, but man, I'm feeling pretty good today.
Yeah, they our sponsors are as unique as they come, and we enjoy having them on the show. So
heck yeah. What are we going to get into today? I know we're going to talk pretty much exclusively about Christmas topics and our favorite items and just everything under the Christmas sun, so to speak.
Yeah, dude, I am jacked. I mean, that eggnog is coursing through my veins. And I've been excited about this podcast. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. There's a little bit of snow on the ground. Yeah, man, Christmas lights are on. We're big chilling on Christmas Eve. So today, though, one thing I wanted to talk about before we hopped into it was, dang it, I got some great neighbors. last night, our neighbors, we had gotten home from a holiday dinner with a couple people. And when we got home, then the neighbor kid next door dropped off some stuff that they made for us. Homemade salsa from their garden they had all year, and then homemade spaghetti sauce also from their garden. And they're just freaking good people, like super nice. I'll be honest, one of them's from Wyoming, so that's got to be part of the reason they're so nice. But last year, so this is we've been in our house for 1 year. Last year, as we're moving stuff in, they brought over a plate of Christmas cookies. So 2 years in a row, they've delivered on some goods, on being great people. And Carly and I can't think of what to get them. We're 2 years in. We haven't got them shit.
Yeah, you either got to get them something next year, or they're just going to, you know, they'll probably continue it up, but they're probably talking about you.
They're thinking, we're not doing this 3 years in a row. You know, we're going to get them something, though. I just don't know what. So
I'll tell you what, a good neighbor, that's a solid bonus. Like, it makes a difference for sure.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, both the neighbors on both sides of me are great. No issues there. It's like you really don't want them to move so you don't have to redo everything. But down the street from me, there's a tool bag, basically, that leaves his truck running all night long and is, you know, needs basically a Christmas candy crane to get into it every day because he's so short compared to his truck. Absolutely drives me insane. Like, the tallest truck you could have, the brightest LED lights you could have on there that just shine through the walls, not even the windows. So, you know, I'm glad I don't live next to that. That's down the road and out of my life. So I got good neighbors, man. And we got to do something. We have to. So,
yeah. And just talking on the neighbor front, you know, sometimes I think about the fact that we, you know, live in different places and we've been pretty much recording all of our episodes from our houses, at least the last probably 10. But it's just interesting because I was using my office for a while, and then I was like, man, it's just easier at home. But how nice would it be if we had like an actual studio?
Oh, I know, man. Like, drive in, you know, set up a nice little thing where audio is even better, the conversation's even better. Yeah, that'd be the dream. You know what? Let's find the exact middle point between Cheyenne and here, even if it's in the middle of a field, and we just build like a shed, and that's where our studio is.
It's probably on the Nebraska and Wyoming border and probably near, like, I can't even think of that, like Lusk.
Ooh, there ain't much else there. So
no, they probably don't even have internet out there.
Yeah. They're still on dial up. So great neighbors. One of the things that we like to do on this podcast is, we like to talk about conspiracy theories and crazy stuff like that. And one of the things I can't help ignore every single year when I think of Christmas is kind of the origin of Santa Claus. Christmas in itself, whether you celebrate it for religious reasons or you celebrate it for your kids, whatever it is, great. You know, the thing is Santa just kind of came out of nowhere, right? Like the Christmas, you know, has kind of been a Christian holiday, but Santa has kind of been, has like 10 different origin stories, dating all the way back to pagans and stuff like that. So jumping into it, I've got an article here that I'm going to do a couple talking points.
Yeah.
On the origins of Santa, and it's all psychedelic kind of based. So,
yep.
So basically there's an urban legend first off that Santa himself, the red and white outfit, was actually designed by Coca-Cola,
mm-hmm.
As a massive ad campaign. So that could be true. I don't know. I haven't looked into that too much. But there's a lot of stories that relate to, way before that, from Siberian shamanism, as they used to partake in the mushroom called the Amanita muscaria.
The Amanita muscaria, yep.
Okay. This is the giant red and white spotty hallucinogenic mushroom that they used in their shaman practices. Okay, so like looking at a picture of it, it's red and white, okay, classic Christmas colors. One of the things I found interesting while reading this article actually was like Nordic mythology and paganism. Back then people were kind of controlled by the seasons. So during the winter time, a lot of people died because of like tough winters and lack of food and stuff like that. So what they would do is they would prepare in the fall for lots of wine and food during the winter season. And they that was a celebration. They needed something to lift people's spirits, so they did as much as eating and drinking as they could during the holidays to keep people happy.
Yep.
So that's one of the quick origin stories. Vikings had a midwinter festival where they gave each other presents, did big old banquets, all that kind of stuff. So you're looking at like everything from Santa to Christmas carols to like the holly and the mistletoe that you see, they all have kind of origins that fell way back in the day. the thing about Santa and the mushrooms, though, and the Siberian shamans, okay, so the shamans would dress in similar outfits to resemble the mushroom. So it was usually female shamans who would wear red and white costumes that were trimmed with white fur, black boots, and then the red hat. Okay, they were basically like worshiping this mushroom. The reason that it was that like it kind of carried over into today is because they would go out to pine trees or trees, and underneath the trees there would be the mushrooms. They would throw them in the big sacks, like a sack of presents, and they'd bring them back to their village. So it kind of, to me, seems like at some point the villagers were like, hey, this person dressed in red and white with, you know, black boots, big old sack over their back, they're basically bringing presents to everybody in the village. And maybe that's how Santa started. That just kept getting passed down, stories and stories. Now, maybe they changed it because that's a weird origin story. But a lot of times people are saying, okay, well, the red and white that Christmas is involved, like is the, you know, the main Christmas colors, we bring a tree inside of our house, we put red and white presents and all that stuff underneath there, which represents the mushrooms. And I just think that's super interesting that out of all the things that happen around Christmas, Santa's always just been kind of like this drifter. You know what, yep, I mean? Like he doesn't really have a tie with Jesus, and he doesn't really have a tie with, you know, people, however you want to view it, people lose the meaning of Christmas, right? And it's all because of this guy, this red and white fat guy.
So I wonder, like, it makes me curious because there's has to be some connection with basically the origin story that you just read and then kind of carrying it forward. Who knows how many centuries to kind of the more traditional, story that we all, well, maybe not everybody knows that, but that you can look up and read about with,
right,
Saint Nicholas and then being, yeah, the, right, like the saint, patron saint of children and bringing, yep, joy and cheer and all that. And then I was thinking it might be interesting So I was thinking about it. Why Santa Claus? If it was, even if you say it was Saint Nick, Saint Nicholas, yeah. Like, and I was just reading something and it says like, so at a certain point in the UK, it was Saint Christmas, Father Christmas, right. Old Man Christmas. And then as it sort of moved around the world, it was US, it started as Kris Kringle in the United States.
Yep. Yep.
And then later it says Dutch settlers came to the US and took stories of St. Nicholas combined with Kris Kringle, and St. Nicholas became Sinterklaas. And so like it just kind of evolved into Santa Claus. And there's like a poem from like the early 1800s with they think it's the first mention of Santa Claus as we currently say it. So it is a really weird kind of origin with lots of plot holes. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. I kind of love that Kris Kringle, Santa, you know, he's literally a big cheery guy that does great things, but he's also like shrouded in mystery. You know what I mean? Like multiple identities, you know, nobody ever really sees him kind of thing. Like he lives in an area where like it's impossible to get into unless you're, you know, part of the gang. Like, yeah. I'm reading some of the names, and so this makes me think of the movie The Santa Claus, Tim Allen.
Yep.
He's talking, he's become Santa Claus, he's talking to somebody that doesn't believe in it, and he starts saying the different names for Santa Claus, and he goes through, and like one of them is, like he says it in a weird voice, but he's like, Papa Noel. Yeah. Like that's one of them. But looking through some, I can't say most of them, but in Italian, Babbo Natale. Okay, uh-huh. Like he says that in the movie. I did not know that that's Daddy Christmas. And that seems so sexual to me for some reason, because the word daddy has turned sexual all like now.
Well, so I'm just thinking like everything in Italian is like romantic. Like right, that's probably yeah. actually like father, but when it translates yeah. to English, it's daddy.
Yeah, so Babbo Natale, Daddy Christmas. Love that. Grandfather Frost in Russian, Dead Moroz. I don't know how to say it in Russian. Noel Baba, you know, like he's like some guy in a movie who needs to be on the run, and he's got like 12 different passports in his like little go bag that all have different names on it.
He's like undercover. Yeah.
Yeah. So, man, I was even like reading this article. So one of the funny things about this article was talking about the reindeer. How are the reindeer tied in? And
I found that. Do you know what that yeah. one is?
Yeah. So, well, according to this article anyways, the reindeer were part of the, like a shaman spirit animal. And the reason they've always been known to fly, and like, this is word for word on this article. Why are reindeer on Christmas cards often shown flying? Well, because Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Blitzen, and Rudolph are off their faces on magic mushrooms. So apparently they would feed the reindeer, because they were also a shaman spirit animal, they would feed the reindeer these mushrooms, and they would trip balls, basically. And so that's where the kind of the origin story of them flying, at least in this article, that's where it came from. Because then what would happen is they'd feed the mushrooms to them. The shamans would collect the urine that had the chemicals and stuff that were discharged.
Yep.
Boil it up in a pot and share it with everybody.
Yep.
So that's, I mean, yeah, that's pretty crazy. So
they're like, we can't eat these mushrooms, but we can definitely drink the urine that yeah, somebody we'll drink else ate the mushrooms.
Right. It's yeah. It's like, it's like, but dude, I don't do drugs. Yeah. I just drink the shit that's passed around to me. So
it's like what the heck is that animal that poops out the coffee beans and then they make
that's
coffee
a, that's
out of
a cat. That's a cat in like yeah, Brazil or something. I can't remember
the name of it, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so quick little side note there on Santa Claus. I love that kind of stuff, like Santa and the origins of other holidays and figures and stuff like that. Like, where the heck did it come from? You know what I mean? So
I know
it's just kind of cool to think of if it literally came from that. Like, those people were absolutely zooted coming up with some pretty fun stuff. So.
Heck yeah. And I just imagine that somebody, some weary traveler that, you know, brought back the stories of that, and then they evolved it into earliest kind of the, you know, like the more like the St. Nicholas stuff. And then, it just slowly changes to what we know it as today, but who knows? There's okay. definitely gaps in the data.
Right. Right. So yeah. Babbo Natale, Daddy Christmas, bringing it again another year. So
Popo Gigi.
Popo Gigi. Yeah. That's one of the other words. Yeah. Popo Gigi. Yeah. Love it. We'll get to that.
Yep.
So yeah, we got a lot to cover today, Todd. Where are we starting?
It's kind of going to be a rapid fire, maybe not rapid fire, but just like covering some ground on Christmas topics. So,
yep.
I mean, I don't know why we don't just start with Christmas movies. I think we should.
Mm-hmm.
Love. I think we should rank our Christmas movies.
Okay. We had talked about this. We have decided on a top seven.
Yep. Top seven. Traditional, right? We don't want to.
Yeah. The classic Christmas top seven, you know?
Yep.
There's hundreds of Christmas movies, some that you wouldn't even think are a Christmas movie. For example, two I learned about the other day, Batman Returns, not one that I would have ever thought of, but then when I read through it and all that good stuff, like, yeah, it's Michael Keaton as Batman, and you got the Penguin and Catwoman. It's directed by Tim Burton. So that's one I didn't put on my list, but I was kind of thought that was interesting, along with Gremlins.
Yep.
Gremlins is also a Christmas movie that I never really thought about. So
what about this? Ton. Is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie?
I think it is.
Another Tim Burton.
Yes.
Or is it a Halloween movie?
It technically, it's a new twist on a Christmas movie. And I actually have a couple on my list that are similar. I would count it. I would definitely count it as a good Christmas movie. Yeah.
All right. Well, I believe I kept it pretty. I don't think there'll be too much argument about my Christmas movies as far as whether or not they're considered a Christmas movie. You know, we've talked about it. We're going to watch Die Hard this year. I don't really care how you feel on not just you, but anybody, if they want to argue about it being a Christmas movie or not. But it's just kind of a fun change. So.
I'll be honest with you, multiple, like, you know, compiled lists of the best Christmas movies. It's in the top 10 of some other people's lists. So,
but I'm just saying I did not include it on this list that we're going to go through today, because I didn't want to have families fighting on the holidays.
Well, yeah. And it could have been top 8, but we're doing a Christmas top 7. So
that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
don't you don't you love it, by the way, when somebody like is bragging about themselves and they're like, man, like I was in the top 10 in the country, but then you like look and it's like they were number 8 or they were number 6 or whatever. So they make them, you know, it's like a weird way of bragging where it's good, but it's like not, you can't narrow it down any further. So you just put it in that giant category. I don't know. Maybe I just think that's funny when people do that. Like, oh, I'm in the top 100 of the country, but you were like 40 or you were like 51. You know what I mean? Top 100 sounds better, but you're not going to tell somebody you were 51 because you also don't fall in the top 50 category. Anyways.
Yeah, it's worse when you're like 6th best because you're not top 5, you're not top 3, but then top 10, you're not giving yourself enough credit.
Yeah, you could be in anybody's eyes, you could be 10. You could be the number 10. Yeah. So,
plus, by the time you get to 10, 9, 10, they might be like, depending on if it's a race or if it's a event, you might be like nowhere near the, you know, top 3. So you really lose credibility.
Agree. Yep.
But anyways.
So we starting from 7?
Starting from 7. We going to go back and forth?
Yeah, we got to. Yeah, we got to go back and forth.
You want me to give you my number 7?
Give me 7. Yep.
Number 7. I'm going to go with Jingle All the Way, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ooh, we're going to throw hands. We're going to throw hands early. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. They're all just fun, like
They're fun movies. Yeah.
Like goofy, enjoyable, that movie, entertaining movies.
That movie's on my list, and it's so over the top. It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, so he's like not a great actor, but he's fun to watch.
Plus, it was peak Arnold.
Yeah,
everything was, you know, get down. There's,
yeah, right. I need the Turbo Manzel. Yeah, everything from like the neighbor guy wanting to sleep with his wife, to hilarious jokes of like the post office man is crazy and he keeps threatening to have a bomb, and they actually like how a bomb goes off. The whole scene at the end, spoilers, the whole scene at the end where he's flying in the jetpack and he just goes like head first into a brick building and it like doesn't phase him. Oh man, it's just great.
I know. It's so, it's
so over the top. Yeah.
I haven't seen it for a while.
It's on my list. I watched it. So here's how dedicated I was this year. I found every Christmas movie possible. Well, not every, the ones that I consider great. And I put them on in the background of our living room and just like let Carly and her dad just like soak them in, you know what I mean? As I rewatched them. And we watched some goofy ones, so we'll get into it. But
all right.
Jingle All the Way is on my list though.
All right. So what do you got at 7 then?
Okay. So I'm going to preface this with this list. This movie makes my Christmas list. It's not necessarily Christmas. It's a winter movie. So if there's controversy, I'll get it off the list. I got replacements. My number 7 is Snow Day.
That is a damn good movie.
That is such a good movie, dude.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Nickelodeon movie, I believe. Awesome soundtrack. The whole idea of the movie is the kids get a snow day and Chevy Chase is in it. Like, yep. That guy's he's insane. They get a snow day and it's the kids' job to stop the snow plow guy from plowing the streets so they can have another snow day. Yep. There's a love story involved where the guy wants to tell a girl that he loves her. There's a freaking a girl that's, you know, loves the guy. There's a love triangle. There's the battle with the snowplow man. Chevy Chase is the dad. He's trying to be taken seriously as a news anchor. Dude, it's so good. It's so good.
That's a good movie. I think we allow it just because, and it's kind of kid oriented. So,
right.
Because it is a slippery slope if we just go winter. Because then we got to consider movies like, I don't know. I almost feel like if you go down that road, you could start throwing in like Out Cold and movies like that.
Ooh, yeah. No, but we'll let this
one slide.
We're not
going to do that. Yeah. We'll let this one slide.
I think there's a Santa hat in the movie multiple times, so we'll take it, you know.
Yep, that'll work.
Yeah, Snow Day, number 7.
All right. So on to 6. I don't know. I have a feeling that you're gonna disagree with me with this one being on the top 7 at all, but we'll see.
Okay.
I'm putting, and honestly, I probably could have flip-flopped these, but I'm going with it. I got Elf at number 6.
Oh yeah, okay. We're allowed to have our opinions.
Yeah. It's just we rewatched it, one of our Christmas movies. I think I can't remember. Yeah, it was last year actually, I think. So
yeah,
still enjoyable, also ridiculous and over the top and doesn't make any actual sense, but belongs in the top 7 for me.
Yeah. It's not bad. It literally is a movie where I think that the director ate some of those Santa mushrooms, like a mixture of animation, stop motion, live action, CG. Like, dude, they were on some drugs when they made that movie. It's so.
Just, and the premise is just absurd, but
right. Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It, tell you what, Elf's not on my list, man.
I figured as much. Yeah,
it's not on my list. My number 6. Coming in hot, Christmas Story.
All right.
I like the Christmas Story. I only watch it during Christmas. Some of these other movies I've been known to watch outside of Christmas.
Absolutely.
And the 24-hour play that they do on TBS is great. You can always just catch different sections of it. I always seem to jump in at the section where he's helping his dad change the tire and he cusses. Yeah. I always seem to jump in during that moment or the moment where the mom calls home after she learns about the word he said, and then he's like, oh, I learned it from my friend. Then you hear the mom on the other end of the line just like screaming and beating the crap out of her kid, like dude, it's such a good movie. So many funny moments in that movie.
I totally agree. Honestly, it's an easy one because it's kind of a classic, to be honest with you, to have in the top. And so
1983, by the way.
Because of where I have, it's on my list. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I have that next at 5.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, that way we don't have to recover the same ground, but I totally agree. It belongs in there. I like it a lot, but not enough to be top. I got it at 5. So it's top 5.
Perfect.
So.
Yeah. Breaking in the top 5.
Yeah. So.
All right. So you're 5. Yeah. I guess I'm jumping back.
So that's my 5. So it's right back. Kicking it back.
Okay, so my five is, this is tough for me, but I went a full series here because I could individually rank these, and I'll talk about it with my other, one of my other series that I have. But I just, they come as a package, and I'm going number five, the Santa Claus series.
Okay.
One, two, and three. First one's a classic. Second one gets wild. He's got to find a wife. Third one, Jack Frost comes in, ruins everything. Like,
yep.
It's a great story arc, character development. You know what I mean? Like I love those movies. They're so cheesy. And like Tim Allen's awesome.
He is awesome. Yeah. Freaking did the same exact thing that we just did. Cause I have the Santa Claus at number four.
Yep. Okay. So I'm just calling him as I see him.
Yeah. But somewhere in here, you're going to have one to get us back on track. So,
right.
So yeah, Santa Claus number four. I like the first one, the most. It's just like, it was just so, I remember when it came out, I don't know, when did it come out? 90.
Ooh,
okay. I don't know. Let's look it up. But I just, it was the right time. I was the right age. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's, and it was, you can rewatch it. We watch it. Honestly, we'll watch it not during Christmas.
So 94, the first one.
Yep. That sounds about right.
2002, the second one. There was a big break there.
Well, I think it's because he went to jail.
Oh yeah, it might have been. and then Santa Claus 3, 2006. So he needed money. He cranked out the third one.
So, but I didn't have the series, although I do enjoy the second and third one. But they don't make the top seven for me. But that one definitely does.
And the crazy thing about it is there was a few characters that changed here and there. Tim Allen, every movie. Charlie the boy, every movie.
Yep.
Judge Reinhold, the dad, the stepdad that doesn't like him and is weird in the beginning. He's in every movie. You know what I mean? Like they kept
speaking of a guy that goes under the radar, but I actually like almost every movie he's in. That is Judge Reinhold.
Okay.
Beverly Hills Cop, man, all those.
I'm gonna look up his IMDb because I don't know him much more from Beverly Hills Cop, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, exactly.
What else has he been in? Dr. Doolittle. got to go way back here. Beethoven's Fourth, Beethoven's Third. Yeah, he's been in a ton of movies. I just haven't heard of a lot of them. The Beverly Hills Cop series, obviously. Yeah. Other than that, I really don't know. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's about it. That's all I know anyways. So he's been around for a while.
He has. He actually, and he looks crazy now.
He looks rough now.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like every time I see him in something and I actually acknowledge it, I'm like, yeah, this movie's awesome. And that guy's always in these movies. But
right. Okay. So your number four was
the Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. So it's right back to me.
Right back to you.
My number four. And we talked about this last night. And it's controversial.
Okay.
My number four is Krampus. The new Krampus movie. Okay. Horror movie. Violent horror movie. lots of gore. But I love scary movies. So it's going to be on there. And the reason I think this one, I like this one a lot is because it's like a different tempo and story than most of the holiday horror movies. Like Krampus is already kind of another mythological thing from other countries and stuff like that. And to bring it to like the American audience and stuff like that, I think they did a really good job. They made some really creepy stuff. There's some good, you know, special effects in it and everything like that. And it's a nice change of pace. Like it seems weird, but to me, it's like a Die Hard or it's like a Batman Returns or a Gremlins. Like, It's good because it's not traditional and it still fits that theme of Christmas.
I have never seen it. I'm not a horror movie guy, but right. I just popped it in here. I did not know that Adam Scott's in it. David Koechner's right. in it. Yeah, I like both of those guys.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So. It's interesting. I'll definitely give it that. And it's got some pretty over the top stuff. But it's something that if you haven't seen it, I didn't even watch it during Christmas the first time. I watched it like when it first came out. There's some funny stuff in it and all that good stuff. So,
heck yeah, nice.
Controversial number four on the list.
Yeah, it's your list, so you can put whatever you want on there.
Yep.
All right, number three. I'm curious to see if we have a similar top three in maybe a different order, or if you've got some unique ones. But so I'm gonna give you my number three is Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's.
Yep. Yep.
It's been a while since I saw it, and I love all of the National Lampoon Vacation movies with Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo, and the kids, I think, changed as they got older because there was changed, a lot of like, range every time. When they came out. But God, those movies are just, I just like those movies. I don't know what else to say.
Dude, Chevy Chase in those movies, the dad is like, he has some of the funniest lines, like some of the funniest lines in that movie. When he goes out and gets the tree. Okay. First off, there's a scene in that movie where they're going out to get the tree. They're in their little station wagon and he drives underneath the log truck. And his car is like underneath the trailer of the log truck. Like, first off, that's a stunt that's like you'd see in like a Fast and the Furious 12. Like, that's a hard stunt to pull off.
No kidding.
To drive in and out of that thing. And then they jump the freaking snowbank in and land at the tree place. But there's a line after he gets the tree and he's outside cutting it because it's way too big. And the neighbor who is, I don't know the guy, but the wife is Julie Louis-Dreyfus, whatever, from Seinfeld.
Yep.
And the neighbor comes out and is like, Griswold, don't you think that's a little big? Where are you going to put that? And Clark says, bend over and I'll show you. And it's like, okay, that's a hilarious line. But then he goes, the husband goes, you can't talk to me that way. And he goes, I wasn't talking to you. And just like talking to the wife. And so it's like two hilarious punchlines back and forth. Just like, dude, such a good movie. It's my number two.
Okay. It's my number two. The crazy thing is that I was going to point out that because it's been a while since I saw it. And I don't know, hopefully other people have seen it recently.
I just watched it like yesterday.
The kids is John Galecki and Juliette Lewis. Both went on to be pretty mainstream actors in today's.
Yep. Right.
And Randy Quaid.
Oh, dude. He's outside freaking emptying the tank on the RV in just the sewer drain, smoking a cigar. Oh, man. He's so funny. So, dude, they go to the store, him and Uncle Eddie, they go to the store and like they're only buying dog food. Like they just keep buying dog food. Clark grabs a thing of light bulbs, sets it on top of the dog food. Eddie throws another bag on him and just destroys him. And it's like, dude, and some of the funniest memes right now are related to the stimulus check talk, where in the movie, Clark gets his bonus from work and it's way smaller than he thought. And he opens it in front of the family and he's like severely disappointed and like losing his shit. And it's just like when I see my stimulus check and it's like, I don't know, dude, it's such a good movie.
It really is. A John Hughes movie, which,
which, dude,
going to be honest with you, the rest of my top three are John Hughes.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like John Hughes, Home Alone 1 and, well, I don't even know if he did the other ones. Home Alone 1 and 2. I think he did 3.
He did.
Breakfast Club. What was that other one that Molly Ringwald was in?
The John Hughes movies. I think he did Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He did,
I'm looking it up right now.
16 Candles. Yeah, Pretty Breakfast Pink.
Club, Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
Great Outdoors, dude. Uncle Buck. Yeah,
dude, he's insane. He is insane.
So
okay, so back to our list here. I think we're on number three, right?
I just gave number three. Yep. National Lampoon's. You got it at two. So what do you got at three?
I've got it at two. My three is Jingle All the Way.
Okay.
There's just, it's one of those movies where like, there's so many like memorable lines. It's so over the top. Arnold's funny. Sinbad's carries that movie. Sinbad, the mailman. He's so funny. That'd be his best role. Yeah, honestly. Although, the president's kid, he like was a bodyguard for the president's kid in a movie. That was a pretty funny one too.
I think I saw that movie once, maybe. But.
Yeah. So Jingle All the Way, number three. Christmas Vacation, number two. You're on number two.
All right. Number two. And I've done this through the list. And so we'll see what you did, but number two, I got Home Alone 1.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I love the Home Alone movies. And honestly, we just double featured them the other night, watched 1 and 2 back to back. And I love every part of both of them. I can't think of a part that I don't like.
Dude, sometime go on YouTube and watch some breakdowns of the Home Alone 1 and 2, like funny breakdowns of like things that don't make sense and plot holes and like conspiracy theories and stuff, dude. It's so good. Just the idea, like everybody 100% agrees that Kevin McAllister is a psychopath that could have easily gotten help, but he chose to hurt these people. Like, dude, it's so good. It's Home Alone 1, number 2. Okay. Number 2.
All right. So you got
I got Christmas Lampoon's. Vacation at number 2. Yep.
Okay. So I got Home Alone 2 at number one. And honestly, the only reason I got it over Home Alone 1 is I just think there's more like belly laugh parts, like one-liners that I say routinely throughout the year. Like just the fact that he gets on the wrong flight, goes to New York City, and is walking around and runs into those two dudes that bust out of jail. Like, it's so absurd, but I don't know. And like, he climbs up the freaking garbage chute on that uncle's house. I'm like, this is not possible, but all right. I just love, it's just a good movie. I don't know.
Yeah. So I went bold here and I did Home Alone 1 and 2 at number 1. I couldn't leave them out, and they come as a two piece for me. Like you said, you almost have to double feature them back to back.
Yeah. They're excellent.
Home Alone 2, though, I will admit, like, if I had a 1.5 and a 1, Home Alone 2 is at the top.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude. The first one's so good. And actually, the build-up to Home Alone 1 makes a ton of sense. Home Alone 2 is a little bit more out there. Like, if you're looking at it from, like, a perspective of storytelling, yeah, the wind knocked out the electricity, and they were late, and Kevin was upstairs, and, you know, all that stuff. Like, it kind of fits together better than... You know, he ends up with his dad's credit card and somehow he, you know, runs into the guys and now he's battling Marv and Harry and also the freaking people at the hotel. And Home Alone 2, the stunts, the dialogue, it's just, they've got so many good moments.
Also, Tim Curry as the guy at the Plaza Hotel, like he had it out for that kid.
Yeah.
Like he was just eyeballing him from the second he walked in there. Yeah. He could have been staying at the Plaza the whole time on any other. It's just Tim Curry had it out for him.
Tim Curry, yep. And then, dude, Tim Curry is hilarious in that movie just because, like, he always is in the wrong spot, but then there's the whole section of, like, when the whole crew goes in there to bust him and he's playing the video for him and it talks about how he caught him kissing one of the guys. Yeah, dude, it's it's so funny. And then, like you said, some of the funniest lines that I use year-round.
Yeah,
Suck Brick Kid is like...
I might use that on a weekly basis.
I use that for everything. Yeah. Like, everything. And recently, one that I've been using, because the way... when we were playing games the other night, your sister had said it out of nowhere. But second movie, Marv walks into the building. He freaking falls down in the hole. He looks back up at it and he says, "Wow! What a hole." Dude, that's such a funny line. I don't know why. Just, "Wow, what a hole." And nobody ever addresses to, like, those two guys between the first and second movie died probably 20 times.
Oh yeah. Like just when he's throwing bricks at him.
Yeah. He hits Marv in the head 4 or 5 times, dead center of the forehead with a brick from the top of a building.
Oh, man. Joe Pesci in both movies when he's just getting rocked by all of the booby traps and he just freaking.
Yeah, and cuss, it's like he wants to cuss, but he
does
can't.
It the it whole just, movie. Yeah.
Dude, the second movie with the paint cans and then they think they're clear and they catch that like 200-pound pipe to the teeth. Oh, I feel that every single time.
I was just watching that the other night and that scene where they're like, "Remember what happened last time?" Yeah. And they do the fake walk and they're just like laughing, even though they just got their asses handed to them for like 10 minutes before that.
Oh, and then Harry or Joe Pesci's hair gets burnt off every time. And such a solid movie. On that note though, this year was the first year I ever participated in the full Home Alone run of including 3, 4, and 5. They were awful.
Never seen.
Awful.
I honestly didn't even know they made a 4 and 5. I watched the third one. Wasn't impressed.
No.
So never went back.
Yeah. 3's doable. Pretty sure John Hughes is still in that one. Different burglars, different kid. 4 and 5 were absolutely awful though.
You soldiered through them though.
Yeah, I had to. It was, you know, it's for the greater good and the podcast and stuff, but dude, they were so bad. And like, they even got to the point where there was like the stunts or the stuff to defend the houses wasn't even that good anymore. Mm. Like, just, I don't know. It was just bad. And one of them, they did some weird stuff, man. They tried to like, they reused Kevin's name on a younger kid, and they reused Marv's name on a completely different person, and they made them seem like they had known each other for years.
That's weird.
Like when he saw him, he's like, "Hey, that's Kevin. That little son of a gun's been torturing us for years." And then Kevin's like, "Hey, Marv, you're back again." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, what? Like, where are you guys going with this?" So
that is weird.
Yeah. So Home Alone, though, the test of time. I honestly don't watch it any other time of the year besides Christmas, because it just feels good around Christmas.
Yep. So, totally agree. Totally.
Gosh, what a good list. What a good
list. Dang it. What a good list.
Dang it. That's a good list. I got two, though. Three. Didn't make the list. We did a top seven. I cranked out a top 10.
Yeah. What do you got? Give me your bottom 7 to 10.
In no particular order.
Or 8.
Because it's, let's say 8. Okay. 8's The Grinch with Jim Carrey. He knocked that role out of the park. 9 is Scrooged. Okay. With, what's his face? Bill Murray.
Okay.
The one
forgot
where,
about that movie.
Yeah, Scrooged, where he gets visited by the ghosts of past, present, and future. And then that movie's got a lot of funny lines in it too. And then number 10, Office Christmas Party.
Oh, that actually is pretty good. A newer
yeah,
one.
Yeah, dude. It's just a fun movie. There's nothing about it that really like rocks my socks or anything like that, but a lot of good actors in it. Jason Bateman. I can't think of anybody else.
The guy from New Girl, Jake Johnson, is that his name?
I think.
I'm pretty sure he's one of the main guys in that too. He's pretty fun.
Jason Bateman, Olivia Munn, TJ Miller, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, maybe I was thinking of somebody else.
Yeah. There's a ton of people. It's just a fun movie. It's just wacky. So that was my number 10.
Nice.
I was looking through the list though of movies, like the top 100. And there's some like cartoon movies that are on here. There's Black Christmas, which is another horror movie. That's really popular. I didn't put that on there though. Muppet Christmas Carol is kind of a classic. Bad Santa, you know, those kind of movies that Elf actually falls at number 32 on their list. So,
ooh.
Yeah,
I'm a sucker for a Will Ferrell movie though. So can't put that past me.
I'm not a sucker for a Will Ferrell movie.
I know. I know. Diverge on that topic, but that's all right.
Will Ferrell's great. He's hilarious. I love his like method acting, but it gets old for me.
Every couple years, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's got some bangers. I mean, Anchorman's hilarious. What's that other one I like? The basketball movie.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't even think of the name of it. Semi-Pro. Dude, that movie's so funny. It's just I can only take him. I like Talladega Nights is good one time for me.
It's good one time, but I can do it like once every couple years. Like it's and there's just so many lines, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there is a ton of lines. I just think about like if a movie's really good, it shouldn't have to be every couple years where you watch it, you know, but whatever. I digress. What do we got next?
You might have a point, but okay. So let's jump right back into Christmas. So we can power through a lot of these. So I got a couple questions for you here.
Yeah.
And you got to think about these. So I'm going to talk Christmas trees.
Okay.
Are you a real tree guy or a fake tree guy? And depending on what you answer, you know, is it what you practice?
Eventually I will be a real tree man.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah. I've always lived in apartments. I've always been broke. We did real trees when I was little, with my grandparents. I love the idea of going out and chopping a tree down, even though I wasn't helping at all. Eventually I would like to be a real tree man. But right now we're fake tree, not pre-lit either. We go fake tree, un-pre-lit.
Okay. So
because it's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, we, I've always been, I guess I've flip-flopped a little bit. My family, my dad's side anyways, always does Realtree. There is a, it does add something to, you know, your interior decorations and just the smell and the process of getting it and everything. So I am on the same page. Eventually, I'd like to be a Realtree guy someday when I have kind of a bigger, like a more like a great room where I could put something like real big up. But ever since, I think we did a Realtree once, kind of hard with the dogs because they want to pee on and stuff. But and you got to water it. And honestly, it's a pain in the ass to get rid of. But we've been fake. We actually bought a really nice fake tree that's pre-lit with the white bulbs. And it looks, it's good. It's a nice tree. So
see, and we had a pre-lit before. It wasn't a high quality one. And once one bulb went out, they all went out kind of thing. So we went not pre-lit this year and just bought the lights separate, thankfully, because our cat chewed through the bottom section and they stopped working, but you can't see it through the window. So whatever. But yeah, like with a cat and a dog, like they just terrorize that tree. It's been almost yanked down twice. And so
same. Here's my next one. Same, smooth transition here. Let's talk Christmas lights.
Right.
So when I think of Christmas lights, let me tell you what I'm thinking about here. So you got big lights, like the originals from when we were a kid, or at least what I remember when I was a kid, they were the big glass bulbs. They give off more of that, like almost like a pastel-y color.
Okay.
Yeah. Not like a crystal-y color, more like a pastel-y. We got the, then you got the small ones that are colored that do give the more crystal. Then you got small white ones. You got white icicles. You got all kinds of other, you got the blue ones that look like ice, I guess. Yeah. What are your thoughts? What's your favorite?
So it depends on the aesthetic we're going for. Carly and I are both, we went for a particular, or we like a particular type of Christmas atmosphere. Like I classify Christmas as a couple different things. So like you've got your Hallmark right out of the freaking Christmas store, overload of Christmas where it's like a ton of color, red in your face, freaking, you know, red and white and all that stuff where it's just bright, bright, bright all the time. You know, the trees lit up with multicolor, outside the house is multicolor. The aesthetic we kind of like is the white rustic cabin kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at like traditional white lights with, like we, this year we did like gold and red, with the white lights. And, we got some in our windows and some on the porch and stuff, which are just white lights. I like white lights better. Because here's my thing with the colored lights is, man, this is a, it could be taken out of context. The thing about the colored lights I don't like is that they throw blue in there.
Yep.
Like it's a red, it'll be like red, green, you know, like a white light. And then there's like a random blue and it's like, I don't know. It's weird to me.
So I'm on the exact same page. Nowadays we pretty much go with the white. Small lights. We've done the icicle thing before. I'm not a big fan. It's hard to make it look good. The small colored lights that we all see and that are available now. That's why I don't like them. Cause the rainbow colors don't say Christmas to me. I know that the act of having the lights on is Christmassy, but it's almost like there's a pink in there instead of a red.
Yeah.
It's blue and that doesn't work, but I'm going to be honest with you. The OG, the big glass bulb,
the big bulbs,
colored lights for outside on a house will always be my favorite. I don't even know if you can buy them anymore. I know you can probably buy replacement bulbs, but they're not energy efficient. They break super easy,
but there's something
they do. And there's something, but there's just something there that, probably cause that's what we did, you know, growing up. That's just like my favorite and we don't do them here. It's probably cause they're hard to get and they're impractical, but. That's my feeling.
And I'm looking at a house right now down the street from us that they go hard in the paint. And the reason theirs looks good is they went full color. It's because they committed to colorful.
Yeah.
Like if your inside's going to be only white, your outside's colorful. If you're, you know, however, just stick to one pattern. I like the big bulbs too, though. I also like the new LED strips that are out. Mm-hmm. So it's like a rope light. LED and they sit in the windows better. It's easier to like track down sidewalks or down steps or whatever you're using them for. I really like those. And on the topic of decorations, I love inflatables.
Oh yeah.
But like it, you have to go full on crazy Christmas colors if you're going to do inflatables.
You got to, like, I feel like you got to do like five inflatables. Otherwise, if you just have one, it just it doesn't work.
There's the house I'm looking at. They got a ton of inflatables. There's one down the street that has a Santa bigger than the house. But the wind's so bad here that like, it's kind of sketchy, but I like more of an adult Christmas. Maybe that'll change when we have a kid, but like, I think if I have an elegant Christmas on the inside or a cabin Christmas on the inside, I don't want a big inflatable out in the front yard, you know?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So also, just to throw it in there, the psychopaths that buy blue Christmas lights don't listen to this podcast.
True.
I hate blue Christmas lights. It's not Christmassy.
The only ones I do kind of like, now stay with me here, are the icicles that don't get tangled, right? They're more rigid and they're kind of like a rope light instead of like a tangled mess. When those are the blue ones that trickle down, you know what I'm talking about? They have the trickle down effect.
I don't see them very often, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Right. Those, I like those because those are just unique for sure.
I feel like when I see the blue ones, they're in the grid pattern and people just like throw them across bushes and they look like crap. And I'm just like, no.
Dude, I'll give the Christmas light industry a huge tip of the hat though. Because the fact that they came up with those nets that you can just like launch over a big bush in your yard.
Shoot them out of a t-shirt gun.
Yeah, just thwop. And it just covers it like perfectly. Oh, yeah. What a great idea. And then also, we have a giant tree in our yard and it's dead. So you can't really like, you could hang lights from it, but like, I got to get a ladder. I got to get health insurance. I got, you know, all that. I don't like when people just decorate the trunk of a tree because they didn't want to go all the way up.
Yeah, you need to get a candy crane.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we need. We need the candy crane.
That's right.
All right.
So, all right.
Circle.
Here's the big one is Christmas candy. And let's separate Christmas candy from Christmas treats.
Yeah.
Because like eggnog obviously is not a candy, but that's a seasonal. Right. All right. So yeah. I got some Christmas candy, like traditional ones that I'm just curious to see what your thoughts are.
You throw it out there. I'm yaying or naying it.
Yep. That's what I was thinking. We don't have to rank, but all right. Yeah. Let's go traditional peppermint candy cane.
Nay.
Nay?
Nay.
No matter the size, big, small, mini.
You know, the little mini ones that you can throw the whole thing in your mouth on and potentially die on, those aren't bad.
You can sharpen them into like surgical sharpness tools.
Yes. I love candy canes. I love's a strong word. I like candy canes, but only the Starburst candy canes.
That's what my next one was going to be. What about candy canes that are sweet?
Yeah, I don't like the traditional. I like the flavored candy canes.
I'm the opposite. If I'm going to have a candy cane, I want a peppermint one.
You're going full peppermint, huh?
Yep.
Now, here's something crazy. Get a cup of hot cocoa, stir it with a candy cane, you're living.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So, okay, what do you got?
Good idea. What's next? So this is a tough one to categorize, but I just said like chocolate, like toffee or peppermint toffee or any toffee. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people make homemade toffee and
bark is probably in that category.
Yeah, bark. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Even peanut brittle.
Yeah, it's I really like bark and brittle and toffee during this time of year. Never made it myself because candy making is kind of a pain in the ass with temperatures.
I've never made it either.
But yeah, if somebody throws a freaking thing of brittle at me, I'm eating it before it hits the ground. So like if they literally throw it at me.
I like a good chocolate toffee.
Toffee's really good. Toffee is absolutely good. Yep.
How about here's one that I honestly think it's you can get any time, but I feel like it, for some reason to me it maybe it's the Christmas wrapping, but the mini Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay. Yes. Yay all day. I like the individual wrapped ones. This year we got some like bell-shaped ones that were only wrapped once. You know how the original ones are wrapped twice? You got to work for it a little bit.
Yep.
We got the bells, and I really liked them because they had like a different peanut butter consistency in the middle, but like Carly didn't like them that much.
Hmm.
Yay to the individual wrapped ones. Also, yay to the Christmas tree shaped ones.
Oh,
I know. Yep. It's the same. I know it's the same Reese's, but like
different proportions.
And like with a traditional Reese's cup. Okay. Everybody listen and picture that cup, right? You got the crispy edge because of the way they form the edge. It kind of has a little bite to it. Then you got the soft middle. With the Christmas tree, the whole thing is soft. You put that thing in your mouth and it melt. Oh,
it is.
If you haven't realized by now, I'm the fat one on the podcast.
All right. So here's the next one. And I flip-flopped on whether or not to ask you about this because I don't know. It could be considered a non-Christmas, but I feel like I see them wrapped in Christmas paper or foil is the Cadbury egg.
Wow. You've seen those at Christmas?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to need some photographic evidence. I've never seen one around Christmas.
Really? You only see them at Easter?
Yeah. I love Cadbury eggs, and any excuse to have them, I would, but I've never seen a Cadbury Christmas. Ooh, Cadbury Christmas balls.
Yeah. Those are like, aren't they like, what the hell are they? Almost like Whoppers or something.
Yeah. They're like a Whopper. Interesting. I've never had a Cadbury Christmas egg.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I'm pretty sure they make them though.
Yeah, they probably. I mean, you can eat them whenever you want, but
I'm not a big Cadbury guy. That's what I was gonna say.
I'm good once I've had like 10 to 12 of them a day, but after that, yeah, they get kind of old. They're super sticky too.
So here's the transition into treats because this one is purely a homemade. What do you feel about? Have you ever had the candied pretzels?
Yes, I have.
You melt a little Hershey's Kiss on top and dot a little M&M on it.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm going to say nay.
Nay.
The only pretzel I like, Todd, is a jumbo soft pretzel dipped in a beer cheese sauce.
Okay.
I don't really like yogurt pretzels and all that stuff. I think the pretzel is what's giving me the nay there. I can't get on board with the pretzel.
I like a good hard pretzel, so.
Yeah.
We're going to throw
you like them hard. I like them soft. So
I like the soft ones too.
Yeah. Right. I mean, who doesn't, you know, but, I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. So I might defer to you on the treats front. Cause you seem more like the Christmas homemade treat guy.
So out of all the controversial topics we could talk about, the one that like breaks the podcast apart is a hard and soft pretzel. okay. Yeah. So treats, the number one treat I think about when it comes to besides like bark and stuff like that. The number one treat I think about when it comes to Christmas is fudge.
I would agree with that.
Fudge comes in pretty hard around the holidays.
Comes hard in the paint.
Yeah. And fudge for me is a yay all day. You can do white chocolate fudge, peanut butter fudge, Buckeye. Yeah. You can do whatever you need to.
I would agree with you. I'm a fudge guy. That's a yay all day.
Yeah, fudge is excellent. Another one. So, you know, a dessert that doesn't make it around the holidays is pie. But there are some pies that are pretty, like mincemeat pie apparently is like a holiday thing. But I'm not going to include it. I've never had it and it's got the word meat in it. I don't even know what that means. The other two that I'm thinking of are very Christmas time related.
Okay.
And three. Let me do three. And they're all cookies. Okay. Coming in at the first one, gingerbread cookie. I don't like them, but they're popular.
I like everything cookie pretty much to a fault. Cookies are just like kryptonite to me.
Right.
But I'm going to agree with you here. I'm not a big gingerbread guy.
Right. They're too crunchy. I don't like a crunchy cookie.
I don't know if it's just it's something about the cookie that like ginger tasting cookie isn't for me.
Yeah. Okay, the next two, I already know where you're going to fall. We've got the thumbprint cookie. Okay, so you got the brown sugar cookie with the big oversized Hershey Kiss mushed in the middle.
Yep.
Okay. Also, the sugar cookie with icing shaped as a stocking or whatever. Both those cookies, absolute units.
Absolutely. Sugar cookie is like a Christmas tradition. We actually bought all the shapes to do it this year. And to be honest with you, we've got so many other goodies. Honestly, and going back to what we talked about last week, we didn't finish that damn cheesecake and it's going to have to go in the garbage because it's been over a week.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
But we got truffles, lemon with dark chocolate and chocolate on milk chocolate truffles. And we're making freaking all kinds of other treats. Like, I think we might end up passing on the sugar cookies this year.
Well, you might end up accepting diabetes from what it sounds like too. So
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, we got right now. We got a cheesecake locked and loaded in the fridge, and Carly's making some sugar cookies as we speak. And the last one, okay. And I only ever eat this during the holidays. I might actually go pick up a tin of it today. Don't tell anybody. Is the giant tin of caramel corn, or
caramel
some corn. Some places it's caramel corn. It's a mixture of caramel corn, 1/3. Cheddar corn the other third, and then like kettle corn the other third.
This is the variety popcorn tin. Like that is Christmas. You're right. That is
it's Christmas absolutely. All day long. Yep. All day long. Yep.
I'm a yay on that. Although this year, because of COVID and nobody really doing Christmas baskets, Christmas gifts, especially
right.
Between, you know, workplace clients and other companies that we work with and even individuals, like, no, I didn't get one. Never saw one.
Yep. Right.
Never gave one. So yeah, I don't know. We didn't get on that train this year, but usually every other year we do.
Yeah. There's always a tray of goodies. And my old job, we used to get around Christmas time, we used to get those big ass lunch and meat trays. And then you'd get a thing of the corn and then fudge and cookies. And yeah, it's no wonder. Like, I love this time of year so much. So I'm going to try and get out there today and get two things, breakfast burrito. I think I'm going to make some fudge and three things because I don't know how to count, and then maybe get a big tin of corn. So
there you go.
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't think you can go wrong with that. So I got one more Christmas. I just want to run by you. So
yeah.
Christmas sweaters.
Yeah.
Are you a ugly Christmas sweater guy? Like you rock an ugly Christmas sweater, or you prefer to see ugly Christmas sweater, or do you want a real good looking, like serious Christmas sweater?
Yeah. So when I think of Christmas sweaters, I really think of the Santa Claus, because the stepdad in that, Judge Reinhold, he wears like amazing sweaters that are not ironic or anything. They're just like legit. I do own a Christmas sweater. I'm going to put it on right after this podcast. But I don't love the ones that are like $45 now that have the lights attached to them and they're over the top. I just like the ones that are like, they're goofy and they have a holiday theme, but they, at one point they were literally worn seriously.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the over the top ones anymore.
So I'm on team, legit, like good looking Christmas sweater. I actually have a couple of them. One of them I have was a expensive one, but it's like, it's not cashmere, but it's like super soft, super comfortable, well fit. Like it looks good. And I wear it to work. Like it's a nice looking sweater. It's got like moose or reindeer across the front. It's good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I would love to throw, I want to get a giant group of friends together and throw like a ugly sweater party. That's also paired with a white elephant gift Christmas. Like you get you guys, Jim, Casey, the gang, a bunch of other people from here in town, just get everybody together, bring your ugliest Christmas sweater, and a white elephant Christmas gift. That's like my goal in life. So
that'd be fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Heck yeah.
Another movie I just thought of, by the way, two movies I just thought of that I didn't even do my top 10, but are great. Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn. And Reese Witherspoon.
I looked at it and I thought about it and I watched it once or twice. I didn't really have any complaints, but I also was like, it didn't wow me.
It's not top 10. No. And then also Christmas with the Cranks. Tim Allen.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I narrowly missed out on my list.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to find that one somewhere and I'm going to play that today because that's a good one we haven't watched yet. So
I feel like we might need to throw on some Jingle All the Way today.
Please do. Man, I'll tell you what. We did an hour podcast that flew by. Maybe every episode needs to be a Christmas episode.
There's just a lot of good topics. You're totally right. It did go by fast.
Right. There's probably even more topics that we're missing, to be honest.
I'm sure.
For example, okay, you have a tradition of doing the Christmas movie with a Christmas beverage.
Yep.
Is that the only tradition in the Mattson household?
It's a recently started one that we are going to continue to do. I would say, you know, we do the truffles every year. We wanted to start, I did Christmas cookies growing up and we were going to start doing that, the sugar cookies and do the decorative frostings.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, other than like the common putting a tree up and then our tradition with just Brandy and I is just doing stockings for gifts, but I don't know. That's pretty much it. What about you?
It's hard to come up with traditions. I think they just kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We don't really have any. We will go to tonight at 3 o'clock. We'll go to Christmas service. And then we'll come home and we'll probably flip through some old photos and, you know, just kind of hang out. That's been the only difference between Carly and I is when do you open presents? And that's where I was leading to ultimately. Her family had always opened everything on Christmas Eve.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've always been you can either open one on Christmas Eve or you waited all the way till Christmas Day and you just open them all then. But from talking to her and some other people, like it's pretty common to open up everything on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, you're lounging, you're spending time with family, you're eating, you're watching movies and stuff like that. And that your focus is on family and not presents, but I never done it that way. So
no, me neither. It's always been on Christmas Day and occasionally you get one the night before, but yeah.
Right. And I'm pretty sure, John, I know you're listening. If I'm wrong, send an angry email. I'm pretty sure John would open all presents on Christmas Eve that were from the family. And then Christmas Day, more presents would show up in the morning from Santa and they would open up those.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. Which I love that idea.
Yep. That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, we're in a good spot right now for Christmas this year. You know, financially, shelter's great. Food situation's great. You know, the basic necessities of being meat and everything else is just icing on the cake. So I think this is probably the best Christmas I've had in all my Christmases. This year for sure. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So I'm psyched. I got some family around. I'm definitely going to be the guy that when I'm going to be Clark Griswold in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation because I want everybody to come over for Christmas. I want to have a big family, a giant Christmas with full of chaos and all that good stuff. Like that's where I'm at. So
how do you feel about final topic here and we can wrap, but how do you feel about being home versus traveling to somewhere? Even if you travel somewhere and do the whole Christmas thing, would you rather be at your home?
I would. I wish that we, you know, with the rest of Carly's family, we could all get together and do one big Christmas, but they've got other families they're going and seeing and stuff like that, which is fine. I'd love to just have one year where it was a big fat Christmas. And we'd probably have to go to Minnesota for that, which is fine. Because I also like the freedom of like, if you are traveling, everybody else is kind of taking care of stuff and you're just along for the ride. Where if it's at your place, you're dictating everybody's like food and all that stuff.
True.
But I would rather be home. I went to Mexico 1 year, so
that's true. Yeah, we did Hawaii 1 year. We weren't there on Christmas Day, but we were there right up till Christmas, like Christmas Eve, I think. But I love the theory of renting a big house in the mountains and having everybody gather there and doing it the same way. Yep. We've never done it, and I don't know if it would feel the same. But for now, I agree, being home is better.
Right, and it's tough too because. Here's the thing is I think it'd be awesome to do that with friends, like a friendmas.
Yeah.
Rent a big cabin, get all the friends together before Christmas and spend a weekend together doing like a friendmas white, you know, the ugly sweater, the white elephant stuff. But now it's like, okay, well, we either bring the kids along or we have to find a babysitter or we bring the dogs along or we have to find a place to board them.
True.
So it's like a weird, we're all in that weird stage of life right now where it's like, we can't just drop everything we're doing and go, but. I like that idea too. I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Christmas episode in the books.
That's a good episode. This one's taken off. I can feel it. First 20 minutes, 3,000 listeners, you know, people want to have something to listen to on Christmas and we got it for them. So we're the only podcast in the whole world doing a Christmas episode. Guarantee it. So
I don't see any other way.
Yeah. That nobody else has the dedication to their craft like we do. So
that's right. That's right.
Todd, again, appreciate the conversation. Appreciate the rankings. We've got another episode coming in hot this Sunday with a special guest, hopefully. Excited for that. But until then, Todd, enjoy time with the family. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the treats. Everyone else listening, thank you for listening, sharing the podcast, being a part of our family for this these last couple months. Wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds good, man. Merry Christmas to you and the fam, and Merry Christmas to all the listeners.
Yes, we will talk to you guys soon. Todd, till next time, I'll see you later.
See you, man.